Not only is this a theme song for Mike Fouché and the Daily Line, but it's also a theme song for the Teachers Union and the city. And negotiations. Time to cool it now.
Every time I hear this song, I just want to get some, parachute pants and some...
And negotiate a teacher's contract.
Just like in the 80s.
The Daily Line, of course, a subscription news site that covers all things Illinois politics, nationally. You can do anything you want with the Daily Line. Good to see you, Mike.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Join us every Wednesday here on the program. All right, so let's get right to it. I'm fascinated because the last week we were talking about how quiet it was on the teacher negotiation front.
Yeah.
We're getting closer and closer to showtime here,
right.
And there has been a lot of talk in the earlier part of this year about a teacher strike. Last week we talked about how quiet it was, and we'll know if it starts to get a little bit more cantankerous when they start talking to the media. Today, they start talking to the
right.
media.
Well, Monday, flablam, is when the school budget came out. And one of the, we had been talking about, how much of CPS's of their budget gap are they going to close? And they had started in the spring, they were saying, we're going to have a $1.1 billion budget gap, mm-hmm. guys. And so they said, we came up with all this stuff, and, looks like we've closed all of it. But really? You dig a little more, it seems that they're assuming that there's some savings from some things that they've negotiated with the teachers. And then what's really funny is that then when you looked at the budget, it was like, you asked questions and they never answered it directly. We, our team and other reporters talking with Claypool and his team on Monday were like, so, what's the part with the teachers? What have you agreed on? And they just wouldn't say. And then really what ultimately it is when you start doing the math and you start looking at stuff closely is they just anticipated that the teachers were going to say, remember that contract we rejected back in January?
We'll
take it. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, right. Hey, that's cool.
And I talked about that. That was an interesting moment because Karen Lewis and leadership at the Chicago Teachers Union were like, you know what? This is not a bad deal. We'll take it to the rank and file.
Right.
The rank and file said, punt, get out of here. We don't want anything to do with it.
Down.
Big
they,
thumbs
they
down.
They hated it.
Is Forrest Claypool just setting up the Chicago Teachers Union to fail or to be the bad guy by putting into the budget the same contract rejected?
This is one of the,
is this politics?
Rahm Emanuel has this really weird term that I still don't understand. He keeps talking about a three-way handshake, and I really want somebody to show me. A three-way handshake. I don't know. Whatever. So the three-way handshake that he keeps talking about is the state has chipped in some money. The taxpayers are chipping in some money. So CPS got mm-hmm. approval from the state to raise property taxes. And so then the last part is
labor.
So the unions are supposed to put in something. So he's always very careful to say, everybody else has put in their piece. Now it's time for the teachers to put in their piece. But what the teachers keep reminding everybody is, hey, number one, there's already been three rounds of cuts now because they fired 1,000 more people last week. So there have been three rounds of cuts. And the teachers have, saying that they've really kind of they've done their share. Already.
Yeah, they're saying it's disingenuous to turn the conversation to teachers. It's your turn to sacrifice when they have been sacrificing over the last couple of years.
Right. Well, over the last year, especially in the last year. And the argument that they make is, look, already CPS is operating at a bare bones operation. Why do we have to give up more? Because it's not really helping anybody. So, this is the kind of the problem is that then when you talk with both the teachers union and CPS and you say, well, how much money are we talking about that you're negotiating over here? Neither side will say CPS won't say, well, we need to get X amount of dollars before we can move forward. And CTU will not say, well, we think that CPS is trying to fill an X amount of
money. Am I stupid to ask, is it not about money? Is there something else that's in there?
It's about money.
It's always about money.
It's about money. I mean, because there's really nothing else to really negotiate about anymore. I mean, the teachers and CPS have long ago stricken all of the fat and all of the extra things that you could be, there's no doodads or gimquacks or whatever it is that are left over to fight about. And so it's really about a certain amount of money. And it seems that amount of money is probably somewhere around $300 million.
Let me ask you, let me go off script for just a second, because this kind of...
Oh, darn.
Darn, here we go. Get rid of it.
Okay.
I I hear this all the time about, and especially when we just saw with the budget that they were laying off 1,000 people. And when CPS spokesperson were pressed on it, they said, this is normal. This is just how we do things. They're going to be able to reapply. Some are going to be shifted around. This is how it happens every summer. This is normal. To me, that seems to be part of the problem. The idea that it's normal to have this weird accounting where you lay people off to rehire them and shift around. It just feels to me that it's the not, way that they budget not is not progressive. It's not thinking forward. It's not being creative. Yeah. And that's part of the problem when we get stuck in these negotiations, because it just becomes politics.
It's not normal. And, you know, I think that there's definitely some kind of cuts that are going to be done. But the other is that CPS is also anticipating, or not CPS, the teachers union is anticipating that there's going to be some amount of money that the city of Chicago is going to come up with. And so, you know, they're asking for the city of Chicago to either surplus all the TIFs, and nobody really knows how much TIF money there is. You know, it could be $800 million. Who knows? But some amount of money that would then be pushed into the schools. Or they've been calling for a new tax, a head tax, which Emmanuel abolished a while ago. A head tax basically is every person that works in a company, the company then has to pay a certain
tax
amount
on the amount of employees you have.
Right, the number of employees that you have, which is sort of a way of getting at all the people that commute into the city.
Does Rahm Emanuel, I mean, does he support what some of the progressives go for, the progressive income tax, where there's more of the Hillary Clinton model of taxing the rich? Is he a Democrat that supports that kind of thing, or does he stay away from
that? Sure, the city doesn't have any vehicles for that. There's no progressive. You can't have an income tax in Chicago without the approval of the state legislature.
Right.
So, you know, really the
doesn't matter what he thinks.
The vehicles that you have left are that you could create fees on individual things, which is what a head tax is, or you could have, you know, more sales tax, but already Chicago has.
But wasn't there a time in the city's history where the mayor felt he wanted to do something? He can go down to Springfield and make it so.
Well, you know, we have a governor now that's not really down with that anymore. So,
so that's maybe that's part of reforms.
So really,
you can't do
you know
that.
Where we're going at this point is that CPS and the teachers are just going to be butting heads for a while. There's going to be we're going to have to come up with something. And really, the drop dead is you could say the drop dead is the start of school, but you have more time that you could go after that, because really CPS is not going to have a big crash until sometime in December or January.
So,
but then
so
the
they
next,
could
the
they
next
start
thing is the city budget.
Could they start the school year without a teacher's contract?
Yeah, absolutely. But the teachers say that they're not going to go another year without a contract.
Right.
So what does that mean, that they're going to go on strike? Who knows? Right? Oh, I mean, it's all up in the air. Every week it just gets worse.
Mike Boucher from the Daily Lines in studio for his regular check-in with us here on the download. We'll take a quick break. Come back. We got to talk police. Lots happened since we sat down last time here in Chicago, in Chicago, and the police meetings have begun, the police reform meetings in the neighborhoods, and we'll talk about fallout from the Paul O'Neill video.
Right.
Mike Boucher in studio. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Coming up at the top of the hour, Veronica Carter is going to have Chicago News First. Right now, Mike Fouché from the Daily Line in studio. Mike, we got to talk police reform. The police reform meetings in the communities have begun. We talked, there was the first one was in South Shore. Nice timing that was a night before they released the video of Paul.
Yeah, well, you know, it was probably more timing of the release than it was of the event, you know, because they set the event like a month ago. And the city, they don't do anything on Monday. Everything is done at 5:30 on Friday.
Right.
Although the O'Neill video was released at 11:30.
Well, let me start here, because this is one of those. I mean, we have been talking about IPRA. We've been talking about reform. We talked about the changes that were sort of brought in police report form earlier in the year. You saw a policy change in the way that it was, what, six to nine days, and they released a video that was something new and that was supposed to be transparent.
Eight days.
But talk about the reaction, because this video actually comes out in August when there are no city council meetings. They're on break until September.
Yeah.
What has been the political reaction to the way that this video was handled and the content that's in it?
So what's interesting is that we're beginning to actually see that there are organizers who anticipate this sort of stuff and they prepare for it. So there were protests that came downtown last weekend.
Right.
You know, Black Lives Matter had protests. There were other peace marches in the neighborhoods on the west side.
I mean, they were quick to protest the Eddie Johnson press conference the day of the release.
Yep, that's right.
Right.
And so, you know, these things have really moved, and they're fairly sizable groups of people, you know, a few hundred people that show up. And I think that that's important. We can't forget about that. And because it's the weekend and it's the summer and it's August, we tend to gloss over things, right? But those things are happening. Aldermen, they're as far away from a microphone as possible because it's August and it's their break. There's no city council meeting in August. So, you know, they're really not stepping up and saying anything. And actually, the only chance that aldermen might have to say anything is these hearings that they've been holding last Thursday, and then last night was at Senn High School, and tomorrow night's going to be in Little Village. And they're purposefully, very pointedly, not speaking at these things. They stand up
in the back or what?
No. They sit at the front. They sit at a table. There's like five or six of them that come, and they say, welcome, thank you very much. This is what we're going to have tonight. And then they welcome people. Yeah. They just shut up, and they welcome people to come up and make statements. And the biggest controversy is that they've been shutting people down, you know, after 4 minutes. It's a standard city council thing that witnesses would speak for three. They started shutting them down at three and then said, okay, fine, we'll make them four.
Right.
And so, you know, people come up and they give testimony.
If that's the worst sort of thing, the controversy is coming out of the meeting, that's not a bad controversy.
Okay, but the things that people are saying are pretty rough.
Right.
I mean, there have been people coming up who have been tortured by Burge. There are people talking about being strip searched on the street by police. There are some pretty horrific stories that people are telling. And, you know, I haven't gone, but our reporters have gone, and they've said it's been pretty harrowing. And some of our reports have had some pretty harrowing stuff. It is a lot of people that are talking about how they really do not trust the Chicago Police Department to protect them. And, you know, you could argue, well, the police department's job is to be constantly looking for bad guys. But what's clearly happening is that many, many more than bad guys are being affected by the policing methods that have been used for some time. And this is making it so that there's a large segment of Chicago that does not believe that the police department works for them.
Well, one thing to mention, the DOJ comes out with a report on Baltimore, a scathing report. I wouldn't say it was out of the ordinary. People were not shocked by what came out, but it actually said that police officers went out of their way to racially profile.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, so this is exactly the kind of report that is being worked on right now for Chicago. The Department of Justice was...
They were brought in after the
Laquan McDonald, right? They were brought in, you know, for in Chicago they were. In Baltimore, they were brought in after Freddie Gray.
Right.
And the study is incredible. You know, they interviewed hundreds of people. They did ride-alongs with police officers. They interviewed everybody at the Fraternal Order of Police. They went through hundreds of thousands of pages of records. And they would have circumstances where police officers would do all kinds of unconstitutional seizures and searches. They would make excuses in order to stop people on the street. It was very clear that the police department's process has been hurting people, has been hurting the trust of the police department and the police department in Baltimore's ability to protect people.
In that case, there are firings.
There are a few, so but what very, does that very
what,
few.
So what? So we can. You've been covering police for a while now. I mean, you know that a Department of Justice, you know, I guess report will be coming out at some point or another. If it's anything like Baltimore, is it the same concept? I mean, is it going to be?
Yeah, it's going to be the exact same concept. It is the exact same concept. Even larger, though, because Baltimore's police force is, you know, just a few thousand, whereas Chicago is about 12,800. So it's a much larger organization of sworn police officers that they're going to be speaking with and working through. And so we're going to end up with a report that's going to be like this. Now, the report that came out in Baltimore today is the factual findings. So first, what we'll get is a factual findings. And I think that's what's really interesting is that Baltimore is a very large metropolitan area and that we're going to get a report that's going to be of this intensity. And I think that we should anticipate that it's going to have a lot of things like this that are going to be for Chicago. And I think that it's going to be a major, major problem to deal with.
So you said tomorrow the police reform hearings go to Little Village?
Little Village.
Is that, and then there's how many more?
After that, there's another two more. There's five altogether. I think there's another one that's going to be in Englewood, and I can't remember where the other one is.
Well, it's something to pay attention to, and you can check that on. I'm sure you can find it out online. But the
you can read the Daily Line.
Read the Daily Line.
We posted the story for free today about yesterday's go to the Daily Line. .net, and you can find the story about it.
DailyLine.net, the publisher Mike Fouché in studio. He's with us every Wednesday night. All right, so next week we'll find out a little bit more about teachers' contracts and
hopefully
and we'll right. continue to talk because there is no city council meetings.
These police reform meetings are it. This That's is it. What they're doing. Mm-hmm. And
we should do a live remote.
Yeah, I think actually that would be really intense.
And
it would
be really good. It's my job to cut people off at 3 minutes.
Right.
Excuse me? Nope,
right.
That's it. Bam.
Right.
Yep,
right.
Yep. We got to take a break. We got the news.
I'm sure the Sergeant at Arms from the City Council would be happy to give you that
right.
job.
All right, Mike Fouché, good to see you, bud.
Thanks.